And right now, I'm very happy to welcome back to our program Sarah Anderson. She's Global Economy Project Director with the Institute for Policy Studies and co-author of her groups in the Campaign for America's Future just released report titled Fix the Debt, CEOs Enjoy Taxpayer Subsidized Pay. Sarah, thanks so much for being here with us tonight.
Really happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, first of all, for our listeners who aren't familiar with the work of the Institute for Policy Studies and your department, the Global Economy Project, maybe you could say a few words about that.
Sure. Well, the organization has been around for 50 years now. We're celebrating that big anniversary. It was founded by a couple of people in the Kennedy administration who saw a strong need for independent policy analysis. And I direct the Global Economy Project and work on a range of issues around trade and international finance. And then sometimes I get to fool around on the issues of CEO pay and the national budget. And that's the focus of this new report.
So, yeah, if you would, do that. Summarize the main points in the new report, which you are the co-author. Fix the debt. CEOs enjoy taxpayer-subsidized pay.
Yeah. Well, I should probably first explain what fix the debt is. So this is this corporate lobby group that came together last fall to try to influence the whole debate around the so-called fiscal cliff. And we took notice of them right away and saw that they needed a lot of scrutiny because they're a very heavily funded group. They said their initial budget was $60 million, and they've recruited big-name CEOs from large U.S. companies. And they project an image of patriotism and shared sacrifice. They're just really in this budget debate because they want to act responsibly and, you know, make sure our nation's economy is safe and sound. But when you look at the details of what they're actually promoting, it's, I think, quite disturbing, and that is they're pushing for cuts to Social Security and Medicare. And when you look at their tax proposals, they're all about getting more tax breaks for large corporations like the ones they run. And so we've done a series of studies scrutinizing Fix the Debt and who they are and what they're calling for. And this latest one looks at their executive pay practices and points out that ordinary taxpayers are actually subsidizing CEO pay at big companies like the ones that are leading this Fix the Debt campaign. And that's because companies can deduct an unlimited amount from their income taxes for executive pay as long as it's performance-based. So all of the stock options and performance bonuses and stuff that are shoveled, you know, into the pockets of these big CEOs are fully deductible. And, you know, it creates this perverse incentive because the more, what it means is that the more these corporations pay their CEOs, the lower their tax burden. And that just contributes to our national debt.
You know, I just wanted to say a word or two or have you explain a little bit about the kind of, I guess, discouraging makeup of the Fix the Debt Coalition before we get into some of the, you know, the problems and the solutions here. Mm-hmm. We have Erskine Bowles, who was an advisor to President Bill Clinton. We have former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, right? And a number of other Democrats are on this this campaign, this Fix the Debt group. Pete Peterson is a guy with a lot of history of trying to strangulate the government and essential mm-hmm. services and social safety net programs, right. But it's interesting how it's kind of presented as a bipartisan effort, where I would think many people listening would say, hey, the Democrats, I don't always agree with them, but are they in this deep with this crowd? And I guess many of them are.
Well, and the ones you mentioned are really the deficit hawks among the Democrats, and there certainly are some. Erskine Bowles has been out there for a long time pushing for these kinds of cuts, and Pete Peterson has been almost obsessed with cutting Social Security and Medicare. I think there are some other Democrats who are just sort of joining the party because a lot of the ads for Fix the Debt are very vague. You know, they just convey this general image of, you know, we're the responsible ones, we're important people taking time out to help our country by coming up with a way to fix the debt. And it can sound very appealing. And just, again, you know, when I really looked at their details, and you can look at their materials on their own websites and see that in some of the tools that they prepared for CEOs to use to go out and do education on how they want to fix the debt, you see in there the details about cutting Social Security and Medicare, getting corporate tax breaks, like they want what's called territorial tax reform, which would allow big companies to permanently exempt their foreign earnings from U.S. taxes. They want to lower corporate tax rates. And so it I think, is an agenda that is very much about putting the burden of our fiscal challenges on ordinary people, on the poor and the middle class, and getting yet more tax breaks for large corporations.
Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villagrosa is another guy on this list that surprised me a bit. Anyway, Sarah, maybe you could give us the overall picture of how these large corporations that are part of the Fix the Debt Coalition, wanting to suffocate a lot of other government programs, use tax loopholes and a lot of high-priced accountants to prevent the government from taxing CEO pay.
Yes. So under the U.S. tax code, you're only supposed to be able to deduct from corporate income taxes $1 million for executive pay. Beyond that, it's considered not a reasonable business expense. The problem is there's this huge loophole, and that is you can deduct unlimited amounts as long as the pay is performance-based. And so when they made that tax reform, it opened the door for massive payouts of stock options and performance bonuses. Anything they could call performance-based then was fully deductible. And it's really part of the reason why we've seen this explosion of CEO pay in the past couple of decades. And the people in Fix the Debt are probably worse at taking advantage of this loophole than many other big Fortune 500 companies. But let me just give a couple of examples. The guy who got the most in performance pay that was fully deductible in the period we were looking at was the CEO of United Health Group. They're the biggest HMO in the country, and their CEO, Stephen Hemsley, took in about $194 million in performance pay during the years 2009 to 2011, and that works out to be about a $68 million tax break for United Health Group, and that is just for one individual CEO's pay. And so, you know, it is outrageous, and I think particularly because these guys are out there telling the rest of us that we need to tighten our belts, you know, we really need to cut back on earned benefit programs like Social Security and Medicare programs that many people rely on, you know, very heavily. And yet they haven't taken a look at the many ways that these corporations that they're running have been contributing to the deficit by taking advantage of these outrageous loopholes. If they were really serious about dealing with the deficit, I think they would be taking a look at this and calling for these loopholes to be closed.
I think the simple label for it is hypocrisy, and I agree with you. The description of what you've laid out here in this report, it just conjures up the word outrageous. And it reminds me, and I'm sure many people, of the incredibly the multi-billion-dollar subsidies going to the big oil companies in this country, the most profitable corporations in the history of the world, and taxpayers are ponying up millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for these big companies like Exxon Mobil and Shell and the rest of them. It's outrageous, and I'm thinking to the campaign that surrounded ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, where many corporate members of that group resigned when a lot of the things that that ALEC was doing around gun laws and the effort to curtail people's ability to vote during elections and a whole host of other nasty policy initiatives from ALEC, those corporate members resigned. Do you have in mind a campaign that would take this report and get as much public attention to it as possible to strike at the companies that are members of this coalition where, you know, blatant hypocrisy is on display?
Yeah, there are a number of other groups that are also tracking Fix the Debt and monitoring their activities and trying to, you know, point out the hypocrisy and really limit the voice of this lobby group in the budget debate. And now Fix the Debt is starting to try to build more of a state and local infrastructure, so they're trying to build state and local, sort of subgroups of the coalition. And that's particularly where a lot of unions and other groups that are focused on protecting Social Security and Medicare are putting their attention and trying to make sure that, prominent leaders in those communities don't get sort of bamboozled by, you know, the appealing, really vague, you know, overall themes of this lobby group to lend their names to it. And so, yes, there is an effort to try to delegitimize them as I think they should be. I think that, you know, once you have people like the CEO of Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, out there as the public face of the agenda to cut Social Security and Medicare, people really need to stand up and say, who are you? You know, you were one of the guys who got us into this economic crisis, and you should not have a huge microphone in this debate. So people are mobilizing, and I'm happy to say that so far the Fix the Debt campaign has not won any of their major objectives. They did not get what they wanted out of the fiscal cliff debate. They wanted these huge corporate tax breaks. They wanted cuts to Social Security and Medicare. They haven't gotten them yet, but the budget debate rolls on. President Obama himself even put some cuts to Social Security in his opening, you know, bid in the budget debate. And so it really is time for people to get engaged.
Well, as you just said, it's disturbing that President Obama, you know, had sort of embraced this chain CPI cut mm-hmm. to Social Security and other government program benefits. Really, I think adopting a lot of what the Fix the Debt campaign is talking about. And it seems this group has succeeded a lot, maybe not particular and specific victories, but they have driven the debate in Washington that's really focused on austerity, despite the fact that austerity has failed so horribly in Europe. We've seen how that exactly. destroyed all these countries' economies over there. What's the solution here? As you look at fixing this loophole, what kinds of congressional action would be necessary to prevent these companies from having taxpayers subsidize what many would label as obscene CEO pay right. by some of these major corporations?
Well, it's a very simple fix. As I mentioned, there is a cap on the deductibility of payments that companies make for executive compensation. It's set at $1 million, except there's this huge loophole for performance pay. And so if we got rid of that loophole, that would at least be one step towards ensuring that ordinary taxpayers are not subsidizing this runaway CEO pay. Congresswoman Barbara Lee has a bill on the House side that's even better than that. It would lower the cap to $500,000. And do away with the performance pay loophole. And that's similar, by the way, actually, to what was in the TARP financial bailout legislation. They put a deductibility cap on executive pay for the financial bailout companies. And also in the health care reform bill, there's a similar cap for health insurance companies. So all we're talking about here is just applying that kind of deductibility cap to all companies in the United States. I want to emphasize too that, you know, that's one reform that I think is just a total no-brainer, but you'd get much bigger numbers in terms of increased corporate revenues if you went after some of the other loopholes, like the ones that have been encouraging the use of tax havens. There you're talking about, you know, really mind-boggling amounts of money. I think something like, you know, $100 billion a year every year leaves the public coffers because of companies using accounting tricks to make it look like their profits are coming from very low or no tax zones. And so that's another big front in the corporate tax reform that should be getting a lot more attention.
We're speaking with Sarah Anderson here on Counterpoint tonight. She is Global Economy Project Director with the Institute for Policy Studies and co-author of her group's and the Campaign for America's Future just released report titled Fix the Debt, CEOs Enjoy Taxpayer-Subsidized Pay. Sarah, in the report, you examine some of the justifications that are thrown out there to speak to some positive aspects of this loophole, one of which is that advocates of the maintaining the loophole say that tying CEO pay to stock performance is somehow making sure that they have some skin in the game, that they won't they won't screw up the company and its future prospects because they have all this stock tied up in the company themselves. How do you respond to the idea that somehow this all makes sense, that to hold the CEOs accountable?
Yeah, well, that's just a myth that these kinds of payments actually mean that we're getting pay for performance out of these executives. And probably the best way to understand that is first I should explain what a stock option is. It's basically the right to purchase stock at a fixed price, and that price is usually what the stock is worth on the day that it's issued. And so what executives do to really manipulate the system and rig the rules for themselves is they'll get huge amounts of stock options at times when the stock price is low. So, for example, we give the story in the report about Goldman Sachs, which after the crash in 2008, the company handed out nearly 36 million stock options to their top executives, 10 times more than they had done the year before. Well, why was that? That was because the stock was in the tank. It didn't take much for the value of that stock to increase and create huge windfalls for the executives at those companies. So even if the stock was worth less than it was before the crash, they still make, you know, piles of money. And the other, you know, disturbing thing is that tying pay to these kinds of forms of compensation create real incentives to do risky behavior and to do all kinds of executive behaviors that might be good for you in the short term by boosting the stock price in a short-term way, but hurt both the company and the economy in the long run. So, you know, what are the ways that you can boost your stock price in the short term? You can slash thousands of workers, and that way you'll cut your costs in the short term, but you'll lose all kinds of experienced people, well-trained people that you could have seen as an investment in the long term. You can, you know, cook your books and do accounting fraud and accounting tricks. You can, you know, do all kinds of things that will boost your pay, and with these huge potential rewards that we've been seeing in the tens of millions of dollars, we've seen just way too many CEOs willing to take those risks in order to increase their own paychecks.
Sarah, what are the prospects for relatively quick congressional action to close this loophole? You have some allies in Congress that are pushing for legislation that would do exactly that?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Congresswoman Barbara Lee is the champion on this issue on the House side, but we are getting some senators interested in doing a bill, and I think everything is in flux right now in Washington. So there have been three different budget proposals made, you know, one by the House, one by the Senate, one by President Obama. They're all quite different. And they're going to have to come up with some compromises. In fact, members of Congress have actually voted to say that they won't take their own paychecks at the end of the year if they don't come up with a budget resolution. So the pressure is really on, and I think a lot of things are in play, and it'll depend a lot on how much ordinary folks around the country really, you know, raise up their own voices and demand to be heard and at least, you know, raise them up as loud as groups like Fix the Debt.
who are the opponents? What are the main obstacles, you think, to getting legislation passed and signed into law that would stop this loophole, that would prevent more taxpayer dollars from flowing to these CEO compensation packages?
Well, it has to do with the word tax. Anything that you have the word tax in, there's a huge contingent of Republicans who do not want to touch it. But I think when it comes right down to it, they're going to have to make choices. And are they going to want to raise taxes in ways that are going to hurt the middle class, like sales taxes or, you know, some other things that have been thrown out that would be, you know, very regressive and really hurt the ordinary person? Or are they going to pick from the list of options things like this that right now are really only benefiting executives who are already overpaid? I have to think that they'll probably go for things like this. And also, as I mentioned, the other, you know, huge loophole is around tax havens. And that's one that really only benefits huge corporations that are able to set up these subsidiaries in the Cayman Islands and places like that. And so there's a split there between small business and big business. And I think, you know, a lot of the, you know, Tea Partiers and all are probably more close to the small business community, which, you know, doesn't really have a stake in that issue as much. So, you know, I think it's a frustrating time in Washington for sure. You know, it's hard to see a really great outcome with all of the gridlock going on. But I think at the end of the day, they really are going to have to make a compromise. And the more that we can get good progressive proposals into the middle of the debate, the better our chances.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight. And what's the web address where people can download their own copy of this report? And well, just an aside here, I would like nothing more than to see Pete Peterson and Fix the Debt campaign come out in opposition to revoking this loophole. I think that would speak volumes about who they really are. But my guess is they'll avoid that obvious faux pas, right?
So far, they have declined to comment. But to get the full report, you go to my organization's website. It's the Institute for Policy Studies, and the website is ips-dc.org. That's ips-dc.org.
Well, thanks again for all the important work you do at IPS, and appreciate you spending time with us tonight, Sarah.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Sarah Anderson, Global Economy Project Director with the Institute for Policy Studies. And again, the report she was co-author of is titled Fix the Debt, CEOs Enjoy Taxpayer-Subsidized Pay, to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.